May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Please be seated. Well, we're at the last day of Epiphany, so we can mourn the Alleluia, because we're not going to hear Alleluia for a little while, except if we make a mistake, which we usually do, and that's okay. So we won't have too many more Alleluias after today for a while. But Epiphany is the showing forth of Jesus. So we learn a lot about who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and who he will be. And we also learn why Jesus did all that he did, and that's for us. Now, what's interesting is in the gospel, one gospel has it that this happened 6 days after, and I'll tell you what the after was, and one of them has 8 days after. One gospel has this happening on Mount Tabor, which is only 1,000 feet high, which isn't a big deal, so probably not. Then the other one was Mount Carmel, and then the other one was Mount Hermon. That's really high, about 9,000 miles, 9,000 feet above sea level. 9,000. Anyway, miles. Anyway, the point of it is, it doesn't matter so much when it happened exactly or where it happened. What matters is, do we listen to it? You know, do we learn from it? And then do we follow Jesus like God himself tells us? Now, the after part, what this happened, or what happened before this, was about, I guess, a week or two before, Peter and the group, Jesus goes to them and says, who do you say that I am? And he goes through a whole list, you know, who do they say, and who do you say? Finally, Peter answers him, said, you are the Messiah. So Peter confesses that he is their Lord, and they all are beginning to realize that Jesus is not just a nice guy, a good teacher, a rabbi, but he is the Messiah, the anointed by God. And then what's really interesting is later on, right before this happens, Jesus starts to tell them, because they were realizing that he was the Messiah, so he wanted them to know what was going to happen. That he was going to suffer, he was going to be rejected, and he was going to be killed, and then rise again. Well, the popular opinion, or the common opinion of the Messiah at that time and now, is that, for the Jews, is that it was more like a warrior coming in on a white horse to save the day, and the Messiah was going to annihilate all of their enemies. Doesn't really sound too much like a God above. And that's because that's not God's will. Jesus is the perfect example because Jesus is the Messiah. So when Peter was rebuking Jesus, telling him, no, 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 this can't happen, Jesus turns around and says, Satan, get behind me. And it wasn't so much that Jesus was saying Peter was Satan. It was that he knew that Satan was trying to distract him by using one of his best friends to scare him and distract him from God. And we know that Jesus always listened to God first and foremost. He didn't want to win a popularity contest. He always listened to God. And so, as always, Jesus went up the mountain, and he took them with them because they wanted some privacy, and Jesus wanted to pray. And also, it was kind of like a symbolic closeness to God. We can be with God anywhere. God is everywhere. In school, playground, work, bathroom, when we're taking a shower, in church, God is everywhere. But like our church, it's like a symbolic closeness to God. The mountain raised them up to be closer to God the Father. And also, there's less distractions. Now, as we read the gospel, We find out that what happens next is they're up there and transfigured before them with Jesus in robes of dazzling white, as so that no one on earth could bleach the robes. And he actually was transformed before them. What this means is they realized that something different was happening. This was special. This was special. And then what they noticed was who appeared? Moses and Elijah. Now we know that Moses represents the law. He was the lawgiver, the Ten Commandments. And we know from our reading today that Elijah was the best of all the prophets. But what we also know now is that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, which these apostles would learn very shortly. So they see all this happening, and I don't blame them, but they were afraid. They were terrified. And you know the phrase that you see on texting or in email, sometimes on the TV, OMG? I'm sure in prayer form, not as a slang, but in a prayer form, Peter was probably, and the other two were probably standing there saying, oh my God. And God probably thought to himself, well, you got that right, because I am here. And so the cloud overshadowed them. And God was there, and he spoke to them in the mist, in the cloud. But before the cloud came, Peter said to Jesus, because he was a little bit of, you know, he was afraid. He said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now that was a good response, but it wasn't the best response, and it wasn't where God wanted to lead them. So what happened? That's when God comes. Then the cloud is there, and he says to them, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And when they looked around, Elijah was gone, Moses was gone, and only Jesus was there. God wanted them to listen to the Lord, to his son, the beloved, our Messiah. And he also didn't want them to build the three booths, because what that basically means is they would be like hanging out there for a while. And God wanted them to take, you know, what they had learned, listen to Jesus, and then follow him through his passion, and then afterwards. And they did that. Not quite the way they were supposed to, but, you know, they did that. They followed him. All of them eventually, except for St. John, died for the Lord and for, you know, for their faith. But it was hard for them to listen. And they didn't get it right all the time. And that's a comfort for us, because we don't always listen and follow the Lord. Because life gets difficult. And when things don't go our way, it's hard for us to make sense of what's happening. Life is very difficult, but the one sure thing is that we can turn to the Lord, turn to Jesus, and trust in him when we are having our difficult times. And not only then, but especially then, through joys and griefs, through good times and bad times, we are to trust in him. Because God won't fail us. He does give us strength, like we prayed in our column, and he does give us comfort. But he also requires and asks us to listen to the Lord, like the apostles. So I found a little story, very short, and it's kind of neat. I think you'll like this. It says, what to listen for. What to listen for. An Indian was in downtown New York, walking along with his friend who lived in New York City. Suddenly he said, I hear a cricket. Oh, you're crazy, his friend replied. The Indian said, no, I hear a cricket. I do, I'm sure of it. are people bustling around, cars honking, taxis squealing, noises from the city. I'm sure you can hear it. I'm sure I do. He listened intently and then walked to the corner, across the street, and looked all around. Finally, on the other corner, he found a shrub in a large cement planter. He dug beneath the leaf, and the Indian found a cricket. His friend was duly astonished, but the Indian said, "No, don't be astonished, no. My ears are no different from yours. It simply depends on what you are listening to. Here, let me show you." So he reached into his pocket and pulled out a handful of change, a few quarters, some dimes, some nickels, and pennies, and he dropped all the change on the concrete. Every head within a block turned. "You see what I mean?" the Indian said as he began picking up his coins. "It all depends on what you are listening for. We know that our Lord completed his job for God. He did his will. And we all know that we receive the benefits of Jesus' suffering, his life, his death, and resurrection. We receive eternal life with him and our salvation. It's a gift. All we have to do during our